The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today.
Showtime. The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Well, I mean, they got to make the decision. They're going to do what they did in spring training. They're going to reach down and say, look, screw all that.
Hanging breaking ball, lifted out to left. Going back on it is Marsh at the track, at the wall. We're tied!
When you get to this time in your life, your existence, to be laying on a champagne-soaked carpet is the top dog. That's it. That's the best.
And the right-hander deals again. This one is hit to right in the corner. It is a fair ball. This is going to be at least two. It could be three. The throw. He's in there.
We've established the winning culture here. I think it's pretty evident.
And a base hit in the right. That's your ball game. And the night the Brewers clinch the National League Central, they walk off the Philadelphia Phillies.
My goodness, these guys are something.
Party till midnight. And then remember, you've got to decide, make the choice that you're going to believe that there's a reason this group ended up first place, wire to wire.
Cheer a superstar. Be a believer in Brewer fever. It's fun to join in the cheering. Stop your
feet. Yeah, true, that right.
We are having a great time. Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, as the sun is coming up, sitting in the parking lot at American Family Field. Unbelievable the amount of people that have come through for the drive-through pep rally, where people will be given a QR code for special access for playoff tickets before they go on sale at 10 a.m. today. But you can get a brat, you can get a t-shirt. Tarek Sala's here, Donald Driver here, and of course the Hall of Famer Robin Yount here joining us on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Good morning, Robin.
Yeah, good morning. It's good to be here.
Unbelievable. That are you shocked that this amount of people are coming through before the sun comes up to eat a brats?
I am
this
not.
Early?
I am not. This is Milwaukee. Brats in the morning. Playoffs ahead of us. It doesn't surprise me in the slightest. You know, this is why we love Milwaukee. You know, the enthusiasm for what we got coming up. And I'm as excited as they are. Although I feel like I should be in it. Tree stand or something this early in the morning. but no, this is great. I mean, like I said, it's not surprising.
Robin, how you doing? Chewy here.
Chewy.
How you doing? How important is it for them to get that first round bye?
I think it's very unimportant, actually. If it was me, I'd rather not have it. Baseball is meant to be played every day, and if you notice the playoffs last year, all the division winners that had byes all lost in the first round. Well, I think Houston might have got through the first round and lost in the second. I don't really see it as an advantage to get that first round bye. Obviously, it means the first playoff round against the wild card, you got to win, but I still think you're better off playing than sitting.
Talking with Robin Yount, Brewers pep rally, drive-through pep rally going on. Swing by in the parking lots at American Family Field. Jackson Churio has been so good this year. And there are only a handful of people that truly understand what he's going through. You're one of them, playing at that young of an age at in Major League Baseball. How difficult is it to do what he has done this year?
Well, he's in a totally different situation than I was. You know, the Brewers have been competitive for a while now. And I think when the season starts nowadays, you're realistically thinking about, you know, making the playoffs. And when I started, we didn't even consider being in playoffs at that time. You know, I was that 18-year-old kid they could throw out there and see what happens, you know, because it was much more difficult to win a division back then. Plus, we didn't have the talent to win a division in those days in their early 70s. But he has proven that you know, he's far and above beyond where I was at that same age. And he's going to get an opportunity to show a lot of people that when he gets into the playoffs. His game is far more mature than mine was, and he seems like, I met him yesterday for the first time, he seems like the whole major league thing doesn't affect him all that much. You know, younger players today in all sports, it just seems like they come up with this, you know, with this confidence from, I don't know where it comes from, because I know I sure didn't have it, but they come up ready to go and think they're ready to take on the world, and I don't think that Jackson feels any different. He's going to do just fine.
Robin, I want to bring you back to 1982, because this whole year we talked about expectations for this team and how the national pundits got it so wrong. You know, no one was picking the Brewers to do anything.
Imagine that.
Yeah. What was the expectations back in 1982 for that team?
Well, we expected to compete, because the year before, it was our first round of playoffs. We had never had a playoff round in as a Brewer team before 81. And when we finally experienced that playoff series with the Yankees, it was the first time we went to spring training honestly believing we should be able to get a playoff spot in those days if we played the way we were capable of. So in saying that, we had a good feeling going into that year.
Talking with Robin Yount, all part of the Brewers drive-through pep rally happening in American Family Field. Come on by, get your brat, get your flag, get your QR code to get early access to postseason tickets. You mentioned 1982, so let's talk about the documentary that is out right now in Marcus Theaters. What was it like to participate, and what did you think of the final product?
It's very challenging for me to watch. I saw it in its early stage, and obviously, it brought back a lot of great memories, but it also, you know, the ending is heartbreaking. You know,
yeah.
It's hard. So I was involved in my part of it, and I'm glad it's over.
Robin, you hear in football all the time that when you get to the playoffs, the game speeds up. And I go back to 93 when I was a youngster and we made the playoffs. As a young guy, you really don't believe it until you're in it and you figure it out. What's different for a young player between the regular season and the playoffs when it comes to baseball?
Well, I think everything is just amped up. It's, you know, during the regular season, your hometown is focused on you. When you make the playoffs, the whole country's focused on you. So the stakes are much higher, you know. And let's face it, the biggest challenge the Brewers are going to have is they have not had to play real meaningful games. They've had such a good season, and they've been so far ahead for a long time now. That's the challenge, I think, is getting, you know, from the regular season games that you didn't really have to play your way into it. You've just, you know, 162 games, you would think somewhere along the line you'd have big games. And I'm sure they felt that for certain series. But when you're going down the stretch in a pennant race is usually the start of feeling some playoff pressure. And we really haven't experienced much of that. So hopefully they can turn it up. We've got some guys on the team that have played in the playoffs, because we're making the playoffs regularly now, seems like, more often, way more often than when I played. But it'll be a chance. That first game, I guarantee you, there'll be nerves, but they'll be on both sides.
Robin, when we talk about, you know, the rule changes in baseball, how beneficial have they been to the Brewers? Because I feel without the rule changes and allowing for a little more aggressiveness on the base paths, I don't know if this team is it's good. I don't know if it's as successful because of how aggressive and how much Murph really lets these guys run.
Well, I think what you're seeing is the last couple of years, we're starting to play baseball again. And I don't mean just the Brewers. I think the overall game itself, you know, it seemed like for the last number of years, it's been a lot of home run derby going on, and, you know, where strikeouts weren't a big deal. And, you know, it was as long as you hit your home runs. And I think we were putting a pretty boring product out there, in my opinion. But what I've watched the last couple of years, it looks like the game is coming back to playing baseball. You know, you're doing all the things that it takes to win games instead of just standing around waiting for home runs. And for me, that's the greatest thing that I think can happen, because I just think the game was getting sidetracked there with all the home runs or the focus on home runs. And now, you know, it's much more entertaining in my mind, and fortunately the Brewers are one of the teams that plays that way.
Robin, do you think all the rule changes has made the game better?
I don't know if they they've sped up the pitchers. Know that, but you know, I don't know if it was the rule changes. We were playing this kind of game before those rules, so you know, I think the game will take care of itself. We don't need it. It's worked for 100 and some odd years this way. I don't know that making a base bigger is going to change the way the game's played. It's kind of, some of it's a little silly in my mind, but you know what? The game to me looks like it's much better brand of baseball.
I know you're close with Bud Selig. What has he meant? Because I always think anytime they have these big moments, you know, whether it's, you know, 20 years ago when this stadium was built and now all the success that they've had, what has Bud meant to the city of Milwaukee in baseball?
Well, he is the Brewers. He brought the Brewers back to Milwaukee. Not back. They weren't, obviously, they were the Braves originally, but he got baseball back to Milwaukee, I should say. Maybe somebody else might have done it, but he was determined when the Braves left to someday get a team back in Milwaukee, and he's the one that stepped up and did it. And obviously, it's worked tremendously. The city, without baseball, I don't think it wouldn't be the same. And you can credit him for bringing it back.
Will you and the guys you played would share in this? Because I go back, Robin, to 96 when we were playing in Super Bowl 31 and Ray Nitschke was around and Jerry Kramer and Bart Starr. And they were there, you know, telling us how big it would be to win a Super Bowl. Do you and the guys you played with kind of share in that same sentiment?
Absolutely. You know, our numbers getting up there pretty high since when the Brewers have not won a World Series yet. We need a world championship here in Milwaukee. I'd like to see it before I'm gone. So I hope the time is now, because we've waited long enough.
Robin, thank you so much for the time. Thanks for coming out to this
thing,
man.
How about it?
Like you said, I mean, usually this early in the morning, you're probably in a tree stand, but instead you're in a parking lot handing out T-shirts, handing out brats, man.
Yeah, but this is Milwaukee, you know? This is it. The people are excited. Best fans you'd ever want to, you know, play in front of, and they're real, and this proves it.
Robin Yount, Baseball Hall of Famer, joining us here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. More reaction, plus the Packers playing this weekend, all coming up next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Look, you take Jesus and the presence out, and it's not even in the top 10.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, if you take sex out of the anniversary, then that's not that fun either.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Great when you can start off a show talking to a Hall of Famer. No offense to you, Chew.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you're a Packers Hall. You're like still a big deal, but
I'm JV.
Got 3,000 hits. Yeah. Like, he's got 3,000. He's in the big Hall of Fame.
Well, I took 3,000 hits. Gabe is just to the head. Hence why I'm not out there.
There we go. There we go. Now we've got Roscoe sitting next to me. What's going on, bud? So many mascots hanging out here, too. It's a great time.
I thought you were talking
to Roscoe's having a good time.
There's nothing better than a voiceless mascot joining a radio show. Yeah. For those on YouTube,
yeah, we don't have a headset big enough for you, Roscoe. I'm sorry, bud. Yeah, it wouldn't be wide enough. You got a big dome there, bud. Yeah, it's just
use Ashton's headset. Time. Ashton's got a big head.
I've got mine up as much as possible.
Angie's
terrified right now that he's going to break.
Angie
something.
Is livid at you, by the way.
Me?
No,
or Ashton.
Ashton.
Oh,
she used the word.
Oh, wow, Ashton,
she used the word stupid.
Okay.
Oh,
that could be a lot of reasons for that. Is this an on-air discussion or an off-air discussion?
Whatever you want it to be, buddy.
it sounds like it turned into an on-air.
She's
discussion.
She's like, did Ashton actually believe in a chaotic situation like that I was going to show up there?
Well, yeah, we shouldn't do that.
I
did. I did. I thought you would show up for Gabe. Yep, I did.
Yeah, well, that's funny because Chewy, I didn't expect. What
Gabe, what did I tell you yesterday? I prepped Gabe yesterday. Yes.
I didn't get the warning.
Well, come on.
I need the secondary warning. At least I can have the warning in my brain.
How long have you been around Chewy now?
All I said to Gabe was, this is it. As we're exiting the show yesterday, I said, Gabe, you know what's going to happen.
Yep.
And he said, I am aware.
And the second I had trouble getting in Chew, I knew it was over.
By the time I got to the second cop, and the second cop says, you can't go that way, goodbye. See ya. So that's on you, Ashy. Yeah.
Okay, sounds good. I'll take that blame. Goodbye, Chew.
Bye.
Seriously, the line to get in here, though, is insane.
It's insane.
I did not expect it to be what it was at 6. Here we are almost an hour and a half later. It's going until 9. People are having a great time coming through, again, getting an opportunity for a QR code that gets you special access before 10 a.m. when tickets go on sale to the general public. You can meet our guy, Tarek Salah's out here, handing out T-shirts, handing out brats. A lot of good things happen out here, big guy.
Does Tarek have a beer in his hand already at 7?
He does not. No, he 7:20? Does not. I don't know if that's okay. The one thing that I don't see at 7:20 a.m. I do not see any beers in anybody's hands. But, you know, Tarek's handing out T-shirts. He's a member of the Badgers Hall of Fame now. All lots of good stuff happening out here. Meanwhile, we were just talking with Robin Yacht about rule changes, Chew. And I want to get your take on this because this was wild to me. And I don't know if Mel Kiper Jr. is just kind of, you know, seeing the rule changes in baseball and how they have been beneficial, because I do think they have been beneficial, Chew, for the Brewers and for baseball. Because the game, like Robin said, they're getting back to playing baseball the way people like it, and it's I don't think it's going to get back to the popularity it was when Robin was playing, but I think, you know, it makes the game more exciting, it makes the game go faster. But through 2 weeks, we talked about this earlier in the week, passing touchdowns are way down. 69 passing touchdowns through 2 weeks, way down from just even 2020 and 2021 when they threw for 110 touchdown passes as a league. Here is Mel Kiper Jr. yesterday on ESPN with a wild idea for a rule change for the NFL.
Of the National Football League, 60s, 70s, into the 80s, you're talking about deep shots, right? The go route, the 9 route post. You're talking about Terry Bradshaw in a Super Bowl hitting John Stallworth. You see Leroy Irvin diving, right? Just off his fingertips. There's the receiver. They laid it out there, right? Hit the receiver in stride. 65-yard touchdown. It's a beautiful thing to watch. That's what I want to see brought back to the National Football League. Okay? Check down kings, bubble screen sensations, boring football. Game manager, I get it, but I want to see those deep shots. That's what the NFL was built on. I grew up with John Unitas, Fran Tarkington, Ken Stabler, Daryl LaMonica. You know, you talk about quarterbacks, Joe Namath. It was just right. Brett Favre when he was doing what he did. Burt Jones with the Baltimore Colts. You think about those quarterbacks who would throw the ball down the field. I'd say what Bradshaw did was Stallworth and Swan, Roger Staubach. That's what I want to see brought back. Say, well, you can't do that, right? Well, you got a 5-yard rule with the cornerbacks, right? The Mel Blount rule, right? Now with the push thing with Hurts, you got to be a yard back now. So don't tell me you can't have those safeties closer to the line of scrimmage than they are. I was at games where I'm thinking, hey, too high? They're out in outer space. Two, I couldn't even find us. And they're playing with nine guys, right? Where are the other two? Oh, the other two, they're so daggone far back, and even though they're part of damn play. I'm telling you, we got to change this thing, and we got to have, hey, you can warn them. Enough radio. They come up. Hey, guys, you got to get up a little bit, right? You're too far back. Warn those safeties. But you got to figure out, competition committee, somebody, Dano, somebody's got to figure out what that depth is, but it's too far back right now. The NFL is being ruined by these too high safeties.
Chew, your thoughts when you hear Mel Kiper Jr. saying the NFL is being, and I quote, ruined by too high safeties. And I love Mel. Mel's my guy. This just, is an insane idea to me.
I was just going to echo that. I love Mel, but Mel, stay in your lane. Stay in your lane. Do the draft. Do your whole thing there. But when it comes to X's and O's, don't talk X's and O's. It's so stupid. And it's dumb from the standpoint of now the game has changed. It's changed. So when you – the problem is this. When you see a flag downfield and you know it's pass interference, 9 times out of 10 it's on who?
Defense.
The defense. This game is already skewed enough to where that where the defense is at such a disadvantage – And it gets worse and worse every year. I mean, even with this rule change, I know it's for safety, which I really don't think the NFL gives a crap about, with the hip drop tackle. You know, that's another detractor for the defense, which makes it more difficult for them. Cover two is a part of the game, all right? This is strategy. This isn't Tecmo Bowl. This isn't Madden, okay? This is football. You want to play cover two? Run the ball. Running the ball against cover two is the best defense you could have in order to run the ball. So I think it's just completely asinine. It's just a bad. I think it's a clickbait thing is what it is.
I do appreciate the impassioned speech, though.
And I do, too.
And the throwbacks to some of the names I didn't even recognize.
Yes.
That's just a classic old man rant. But like, what are you going to do? Tell those guys they can only be 15 yards back? And it's like, okay, what are they supposed to do about Tyreek Hill? Just let him score?
I know, exactly. But there's things you can do.
That's what you're supposed to do.
I mean, there's enough scoring. I mean, I know scoring is down, but it's not a product of cover two. It's a product of they don't do anything in the preseason. And it takes time. All offenses are based upon timing. And it takes them a while to get the timing down. That's why I anticipate by week 7 or 8, the touchdowns will be the same as they were last year at that period. It's just that they don't practice enough. The players didn't want it. That was one of the big things they wanted in their negotiations in the CBA. It's just the way it is. You can't snap a finger and be like, oh, we're dialed in. It takes time.
I think there's a couple things, and Mel even kind of touched on it. Like, football to me, Chew, like there's – and this is probably true of any sport. Like, there's going to be a cyclical nature of once you start leaning too far one way, it only makes sense to kind of pivot back to the other way. And what I mean by that is, okay, we're trying to get, you know, everyone wants to throw. So defenses are getting lighter. Defensive backs are getting faster. Defenses are being designed to stop these big pass plays. You know it works against small defenses?
Yeah. Run the ball.
Big backs who can run the football.
Absolutely.
And I think it just kind of we're going to go through that cycle, and I understand that everybody loves throwing, the big plays are certainly a big attraction, but I think what we've proven over the last, 30, 40 years, the NFL's not going anywhere.
No.
Like, if they just start running the ball a little bit more, people aren't going to stop watching. You're telling me Lambeau Field isn't going to sell out because Josh Jacobs has 3 touchdowns instead of Jordan Love throwing for 3 touchdowns?
No, and I think outside of the quarterback, the second most important position, and they're probably the best athletes on the field are defensive backs. I mean, would you rather have a lockdown, the best cornerback in the league, or the best pass rusher?
I personally would rather have the best pass rusher.
I personally would rather have the best DB. Because then you don't have to worry. With a pass rusher, Gabe, you can always chip him. You can always give him help. When you're a receiver and you're really good, you're out in a DB, you're out on an island. You really don't have any help. Like Dion back in the day, and I've told this story many a times, and poor Robert, you know, because Robert was our number one receiver for all those years. We played Dallas. Holmgren wouldn't even call plays for him. It was 10-on-10 football.
Okay, so, that's interesting, because I was going to bring up T.J. Watt, but you brought up Deion, so we'll keep it in your era. Who would you have rather played with, Deion or Reggie? Because, I mean, Reggie's the best pass rusher of all time. Deion's the best corner of all time. Which one would you have rather had, and which one would you have rather played with?
I mean, I would, from a X's and O's standpoint, I'd rather have Deion, because just like I said, you can always block Reggie with a tight end and a tackle, you know? You can always
I just feel that.
When you shrink the field because you have a dominant defensive back, that's a great card to have in
the one thing I think
deck.
Is different now though is offenses are a lot more better at like Davante Adams with Matt LaFleur, they moved him all around the formation. You think of like CeeDee Lamb, that guy plays the slot like half the time, and unless the guy's going to follow him there, I think it's still an advantage to have that pass rusher. Because you can, teams have used to do it to Jair, where they just don't put their best receiver out there. They just say, here's MVS, have fun.
Yeah, but this is important, and I know people like to poo-poo this, but what rules are you playing under? Are you playing under 1995 rules, or are you playing under 2024 rules?
Yeah, I was thinking like in modern NFL.
In modern, it's probably changed, but I mean, I remember these game plans. It was just like, Robert, just go line up as far as you can to the right and don't do anything.
Put your toes on the sideline.
Yes.
It didn't work for the Packers in 14, but when they played the Seattle Seahawks, I remember this very vividly. They played the Seahawks to kick off the season, and you know, Richard Sherman didn't travel. They just kept him on that one side. Their game plan was, we're going to put Jarrett Boykin over there and forget that side of the field and then try to work the other half of the field with Jordy and Randall Cobb. It did not end up working, and they basically sacrificed Jarrett Boykin's career because he didn't do anything after that. I think he was just kind of ruined. But to Chewy's point, teams have tried to do that where they're like, okay, he's so good. But in today's NFL, the best defensive players, the ones who get paid the most, the ones who are winning Defensive Player of the Year, are those pass rushers. It's T.J.
Sure.
Watt. It's Miles Garrett.
Sure. But, like I said, you can do things to address that. You know, when you have the best receiver, and I don't think, it's years ago, but I don't think people give Deion the credit he deserves. He's hands down. I mean, he was so good. I mean, he wasn't going to hit anybody or tackle anybody, but...
But Chewy, he was so good, it didn't matter.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you're
That's
right.
That's how good he was.
Yeah.
That's how good he was.
Corners also have that weird thing happen where you're so good that you kind of forget you're over there. Because, Darrell Revis was kind of forgotten about until people were, finally starting to pay attention because they don't throw the balls away.
Yeah.
There's no interest.
Well, that was the big knock on him. Like, he doesn't get enough interceptions. Why are you paying him that much money? Well, because he just kind of eliminates that side of the field. No one throws at him. Hard to get interceptions if nobody throws your way. And I'm sure Deion was the exact same way. And yet when you did throw at him, he still made the plays and was able to take advantage of it. It's fascinating. We'll ask Craig Karmazin certainly about this as we continue on here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Again, I am hanging out live in the parking lot at American Family Field, encouraging you to come through, maybe on your way to work. Line looks like it's dying down just a little bit. It's starting to get to the end of the parking lot, but a steady flow of cars for their drive-through tailgate. Get your flag, get your t-shirts, get your, I think they've got some towels maybe. They're giving away a lot of stuff, including brats. And then, more importantly, an opportunity to get a QR code for your chance at some Brewers Place postseason tickets where you can purchase those before the general public is able to do so later today at 10 a.m. If you're looking for a better used car interest rate, Ewald makes it easy to save thousands during the used car rate reduction event. Get rates as low as 4.9% on Ewald Automotive Group's best used cars, 4.9% on over 600 vehicles at 10 locations. Increase your purchase power with a better used car from the name Milwaukee has trusted for 60 years. Go to EwaldAuto.com. GKBPrep.com.
It's Friday, and that means it's time to check in with GKB President Craig Karmazin.
Gabe, you're right. I actually just looked at the stats. No hypocrite has ever won a championship.
Fridays with Mo.
Mark Attanasio, the last thing he wanted to do was play a video and tribute Craig Council in any way. So I give Mark Attanasio a ton of credit.
Craig Karmazin on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy is sponsored by Landworks Landscape Services. Their creative and talented team will design, build, enhance, and maintain beautiful landscapes in southeastern Wisconsin. Learn more and see their work at landworkswisconsin.com.
It's always love catching up with Good Karma Brands founder, CEO, Craig Karmazin on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy each and every Friday. Good morning, Craig.
So did my prank work?
What was your prank?
So I'm in New Jersey right now.
Oh, how unfortunate.
And obviously, I wasn't at the Jets game last night, but I'm flying back to Milwaukee now. But I decided to mess with Chewy, and so I told all the security people, I told my Brewers people, mess with Chewy and like don't let him in this morning when he tries to get in for the remote. So how did it end up working out?
Oh, it worked.
Nice.
It definitely worked. See, Craig even knew. He even knew. Because Craig, I don't know if you were listening, but after yesterday's show, I said, Gabe, you know what's going to happen tomorrow, and Gabe's like, yep, absolutely.
Yep. Chewy ends up not at the remote and in studio. Well, Gabe, I'm glad you were celebrating one of the most unexpected things. I mean, I just had the money hit my ESPN bet account because I had bet on the Brewers to win the division.
What was the odds on that?
So I bet it at when they were like 5-1. Like, so it wasn't before the season, but it wasn't like,
okay,
but
that's
like the
six games they, in is that's.
They still had the worst odds in the division. So it was like plus 650, and I put like $150. I won like $1,000 on it. It was pretty awesome. And by the way, I also put in at the time $200 on them to win the National League. So that's going to pay off $8,000 if that comes in. That was 40-1. It's now down to 750-1.
Craig, did you listen to Robin in the first segment?
7.5. No, I didn't. I'm in New Jersey. I did
so,
not hear.
So, Gabe, I was a little surprised by his answer when I said, how important is it for him, or not for him, for the team to get the bye? And he said, it's not at all. He's like, I would almost rather not get the bye because baseball's meant to be played every day. And that kind of put me at ease a little bit. Are you surprised by that answer,
Craig? I am surprised. Totally surprised, but it makes sense, and I love it, and it's kind of like what we have seen since these teams who've had the bye. Like, they haven't had, like, an advantage, which I think for most teams you'd say, hey, this is great. We could set up our pitching rotation, you know, by having a little break, but I don't know if the Brewers, like, it even matters, like, to set up the pitching rotation. So I actually like that philosophy, and I've been someone who every day I'm, like, checking the Dodgers, checking the Phillies, but in actuality, I actually like that argument.
Gabe, were you surprised by that answer?
I was, but it was kind of an old school answer. You know, he's an old school, grinded out guy, and he's like, no, I want to play baseball every single day. And the point that he made about the Diamondbacks and the Rangers last year, they were teams that did not receive the bye, and they were the ones that ended up in the World Series. So, I mean, it is kind of scary, though, to go into that wild card round. I understand where Robin's coming from, but anything can happen in a three-game series in baseball, right? Like, I keep going back. I mean, the A's just beat
the
Cubs out of 2 out of 3.
I'm saying how hot the Mets are right now. But the Brewers have been so consistent throughout the year, and they're not relying on just one hitter where, like, if one person goes cold. Like, I like the makeup of this team going into the postseason.
Oh, I love it. Like, this – I don't know if I've felt this way about a Brewers team, probably since they went to the NLCS when they got so hot, beat the Cubs in game 163 – like, this team just feels different to me than, like, even last year, even though they won the division last year.
But guys, do we expect them to win?
Win what? The wild card round? Yes.
And the next round. I mean, because when you talk about, and I'll transition to the Bucks, Craig, when they play those first couple, you expect them to win.
Yeah, I don't think you could expect the Brewers to beat the Phillies or the Dodgers. I think it's possible, and I think they'll be competitive. But, I mean, this is like the Packers last year.
Yeah,
it's
but
like
hold on,
Packers
Craig.
Packers against – yeah.
Do you expect them – if they do go to the wild card game, do you expect them to win one of those series and not two?
Yeah, so, I mean, I think you could equate it to the Packers last year, right? So the Packers, except the Packers had to go on the road and beat the Cowboys. So, like, if the Brewers win the two out of three wild card series, which I think is going to be 60-40 Brewers or 55-45, they should win, then they're going to be going to either Philly or L.A., and that's the equivalent of going to San Francisco for the Packers and trying to beat the 49ers, which the Packers ended up having a chance. And I think that's what you expect for the Brewers if they are to win that wild card round and go to the second round.
What about this team makes you the most excited, Craig?
Jackson Chourio. I mean,
Craig, I couldn't believe it when they pitched. I mean, again, last week they're in Arizona. They decide to walk terrain to get the Chourio and immediately delivers a triple. Just triple down the line. No big deal. I couldn't believe they decided to pitch to him.
He's amazing. I mean, it was fun. It was obviously like you knew they'd do something like because he's not 21, so they had to bring out like the non-alcoholic stuff for him in the locker room because he's not. I mean, he's not even 21. Like,
nope.
And I mean, I think that's the first thing. And the second thing for me is that it just seems like there's a culture where like whoever comes in like expects to contribute, and they kind of know they need to, or there's gonna be someone else who can do it. Like, it's not like, oh, wow, what a shock. We got a 2-for-3 out of this guy tonight. Like, there's just so many people who've contributed big hits and big moments over the course of this season that you just don't feel like it's these two guys go cold. And, like, Jackson Chourio struggles in the first two games at home in the wild card. They can still win. Like, I don't think they're reliant on any single player.
All right, Craig, how do you see Sunday at noon playing out? From Jordan Love playing to not playing to Malik starting, what's your gut telling you?
My gut is telling me it's going to look a lot like last night's game, that the Tennessee Titans have a really good defense, that Jordan Love will not be playing, that the Packers have very limited offense without him, and that the Titans will protect the ball. And, you know, because if not, I don't know what their quarterback. I mean, Jesse Levis, I mean, they have been Levis. Did I just call him? Wasn't that the
Jesse backup Levis?
Catcher? That was the backup catcher. Wasn't that the backup catcher for the Brewers like in 1992? Will Levis, he has just been so bad at protecting the ball. If he protects the ball, I mean, they have the best defense right now in the NFL. So I think it could look a lot like that Jets win over the Patriots, assuming Jordan Love doesn't play. I think it could be just a 20-6 type game where the Titans win convincingly.
Do you think that plays into them not playing Love, the fact that their defense is so good?
I think it's a grinded-out game on the road that is a really tough game for him to come back for. And I think what plays more into it is that they won last week. I think if they had lost last week at 0-2, I think Jordan may have like overruled the staff and been like, I got to get back in here because I don't want this thing to be 0-3, because 0-3 is really, really tough to come back from. But the fact that the offense looked great and they moved the ball and all that, I think that gives him the ability to try to get a little healthier.
By the way, Jesse Levis was a Brewers catcher from 1996 to 1998.
Wow,
came back
pull.
In 2001. So Craig was
I'm
right.
Telling you, I'm in the Brewers spirit, and I'm pulling Brewers backup catchers that from literally when I moved to Wisconsin, he was their backup catcher in 1997.
Craig, you're still a fraud though, because what? If the Brewers are playing the evil empire, you're going with the evil empire.
Dude, Chewy, how have you not understood this by now?
Because I know you.
You
can't flip a switch.
No, you know me. Who do I root for when the Bears play the Packers?
Whatever company brings you the most money.
Right. So when the Brewers play the Yankees, who am I going to be rooting for?
Well, I would think that ESPN New York is a little bigger than ESPN Milwaukee.
We
so.
Don't have the Yankees rights.
We don't have the Yankee rights.
We don't have the Yankees rights. The Brewers are as important as any franchise. The Brewers, Lakers, and Bears are the three most important franchises that we have in this company. So there is no doubt I will be rooting for the Brewers.
Okay. I didn't know that.
I mean, my daughter thinks I'm the biggest sellout in America. She wears her Aaron Judge jersey, and I'm rooting for the Brewers.
Yeah,
I mean, the biggest sellout in the country is probably Chewy. He's the biggest front-running Jesse known to mankind.
Oh, okay. Context?
What do you mean? Like, you just like, decided that when the Patriots lost in the Super Bowl, you're like, nah, I'm a Giants fan.
Yeah, that's fair. No, I'm not a... I am a fair-weather fan.
Yeah.
You're now watching your college because they're good.
They're really good. Still don't buy a shirt or anything.
Do they invite you back and, like, have you on the sidelines and stuff? What's the deal with that?
Yeah, they want me to pay for it. I ain't doing that.
Oh, okay.
Am I right?
Craig, he won't go
no,
up to
No, you should
Lambeau.
Go back. You'd have so much fun. No, I think BC would be different for him. I think because he's been to Lambeau so many times at this point. So I could understand him saying, like, all right, I've been there, done that, like, 50 times. Like, how many BC games have you actually gone back to since you're out of the NFL? Ooh.
One.
Can I set the over-under?
One.
Oh, I wanted to set an over-under.
One.
The over-under was going to be 0.5.
Because they inducted me in the Hall of Fame, and they paid for it.
When did you leave the game?
When did I leave Boston College?
No, when did you leave the one game?
Oh, they were playing. Who the hell were they playing? Like, University of New Hampshire? Probably, well, because they had to trot us off at halftime. So yeah. Right when I was trotted off the field, I'm out of there.
You walked out of the tunnel and right out of the stadium.
Yeah, it's not, you know, 28,000 people at a game. Yeah. Not the greatest atmosphere in football, Craig.
By the way, how about the Packers takeaways this year? That's the one thing I think we have to think about going into this game, you know, is you have a quarterback in Tennessee who is so prone to the turnover. It seems like he can't even help himself. And then you have a Packers defense that has been more opportunistic than any that we've seen in a long time. So I think that sets
You're just doing that to coat over the run defense and...
Exactly.
In the sacks.
That's where I'm conflicted because the run defense is...
Porous.
It's not very good, but now they're getting the turnovers, and that's important. It's conflicting to try to figure out how well this defense has actually played in the first 2 weeks.
Yeah, and I think it's what everyone asks for, though, right? Like, they're like, just make a play. I don't care if you give up. Like, in the NFL, you're going to give up yards. Just make a play. And this defense has made plays, like, as much as any in the NFL, and that's just what I just don't know enough about. My buddy, the backup catcher from the Brewers in 1997, is if he'll be able to play disciplined enough on Sunday, because this defense has shown if you give them the chance, they'll take it away. But I even in that scenario, I just worry like that they could turn those into seven, right? Like if they don't have Jordan Love against this Tennessee defense, the defenses in the NFL seem better this year.
But Craig, would you agree with me here? I love the back end of the defense. I think it's in top 10, maybe even top 5. But the front seven is very average.
Yep. But they don't have Derrick Henry anymore, right? So this isn't like previous year Tennessee where they're just going to like destroy you in that way.
Yeah, but they still have some.
Doesn't scare me.
Well, what about, who's the receiver from Arizona?
Hopkins.
He's very good, and their other guy's good, too.
He's not good anymore. He's injured.
DeAndre?
Yeah.
So who are you taking?
I'm taking the Titans, assuming Jordan Love doesn't play. And I just think their defense is that good, and it's like a tough road game. Like, we saw the Jets pull it out, but that's because of Aaron Rodgers, like, pulled it out because he's Aaron and he knew how to make the smart plays like when he made them, and he checked down a million times and was really smart to beat the Titans. And I don't think you could expect Willis and his like whatever fifth start ever to play at Aaron Rodgers level.
Levis.
Craig, appreciate the time, buddy. Enjoy what should be a fun sports weekend.
All right, if you see Jesse Levis in the parking lot there, Gabe, say hi to him.
I'll make sure I get him I'll get an autograph for you. Don't worry.
Yeah, thanks.
Change the way you do business and take more control of the payment process with Fifth Third Bank's Treasury Management Solutions. Their market expertise and managed services streamline the entire payment process and integrate with your existing systems, giving you more control than ever. With their suite of payment solutions, you will soon recognize new revenue sources that can save time, offset operating costs, and improve the bottom line, all customized for your business. Fifth Third Bank, they pay attention to the little details. Look, my guy Aaron was the guy who delivered the game ball a couple of nights ago here at American Family Field, meticulously placing that ball on the rubber, giving the, you know, classy tip of the cap as he went back into the stands as well. They pay attention to the details. Fifth Third Bank, National Association, custom solutions built around your goals. Member FDIC.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
excuse me. Hold on. Getting choked up over it. So, hold on. Give me a moment.
On 94.5 ESPN.
It doesn't matter what age you are. Low testosterone can be an issue with any guy. That's where Mentality comes in. Local healthcare facility specifically dedicated to helping men feel and perform at their very best. Mentality can help you if you're tired, groggy, you just don't feel like yourself. Those could be signs of low testosterone. I thought it was kind of the process of, okay, I'm getting older, this is the way it works. And you know what? It doesn't have to be that way. Because with Mentality, they can get your testosterone levels where they need to be. You can compete at work in sports like you did years ago. It's really worked for me. When I have those long days, I've got the energy to attack my day. And you can too with Mentality. Make sure you check them out. LowTUSA.com. Mentality allows treatment to fit into every guy's lifestyle. Learn more about Mentality and their low testosterone treatments. LowTUSA.com. Brats in the morning. I was just delivered a brat, Chewy, as we are hanging out at the Brewers drive-through tailgate. Fans have an opportunity to get a QR code to give them access to get playoff tickets before they go on sale to the general public at 10 a.m. this morning. They're handing out brats, T-shirts, flags, the whole nine yards. Robin Yount is here. Mentioned Tarek Sala. I see Donald Driver over there. Pat Murphy going to be joining us here shortly. You are missing out, big guy. This is cool.
What do you put on your brat?
You know, typically it's just a little bit of mustard. If I can find some stadium sauce because I'm at AmFam Field, I'm going to put some secret stadium sauce on
no
it.
No kraut?
It's mustard and kraut all day.
Yeah, Joshy, mm-hmm. Yeah, all the
out
way.
Out on kraut. Out on kraut.
All day. As a German, you're out on kraut? Turn your card in now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, fine. I will. I don't care. Pat Murphy, Brewers manager, joining us next in 2 minutes. Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.